Welcome back to This Month in Digital Money, hosted by the Digital Euro Association. I'm Anne-Sophie, and together with Tamara, we'll take you through the key developments shaping digital finance in November. This month, we saw political momentum around the digital euro, major CBDC progress in the Middle East and Asia, and private sector players positioning themselves in the global race for digital money infrastructure. Let's dive in. We'll start at home. We already know that at the end of October, the ECB Governing Council formally endorsed moving the digital euro into the next phase. Now, in November, we saw the political side accelerate. The European Parliament released its new report on the digital euro, adding momentum on the legislative track. Parliament is signaling that Europe needs to move forward, but with clear conditions around privacy, acceptance, consumer safeguards, and the role of intermediaries. The European Parliament's rapporteur, Fernando Navarrete, voiced strong views on the legislative proposal. He shows clear support of a wholesale CBDC, which he sees as strategically important for Europe's market infrastructure and for maintaining monetary sovereignty in the long term. He believes that this is where public sector intervention is the most effective solution, if you will. The same cannot be said for the retail digital euro, according to Navarrete, and this is stated very clearly in the parliamentary report. The report emphasizes the utility and necessity of an offline digital euro to ensure universal access and resilience, while the online version should only be deployed if there is clear market failure, meaning Parliament, at least as per the report, does not want what it deems unnecessary public sector intervention in an already competitive retail payments market. Any retail digital euro should thus avoid crowding out commercial banks and private PSPs. So while the ECB is progressing technically, Parliament is defining a narrower political mandate, a retail digital euro that is limited, privacy-protecting, and non-disruptive, and a wholesale CBDC where Europe should move more boldly. All of this shows that the digital euro is now entering a phase where technical design, political conditions, and market dynamics are becoming tightly intertwined. And that's important because Europe isn't acting in isolation. Around the world, CBDC development, especially in cross-border use cases, is picking up. And that takes us towards the East, where November brought some significant developments as well. The UAE and China made headlines with advancing their cross-border CBDC settlement work through the Enbridge platform. The two countries tested real-value transactions, showing instant settlement, integrated FX, and 24/7 cross-border capabilities. This is now one of the most advanced wholesale CBDC projects globally, and it's moving from concept into early operational practice. What's especially interesting is that the UAE isn't just active on the public CBDC side. It's also becoming a hub for private sector digital money infrastructure. Ripple expanded its presence in the region, supporting institutional on-chain payments, enterprise custody, and stablecoin-enabled settlement. So in the UAE, we're seeing public and private digital money rails developing in parallel, with a central bank driving wholesale CBDC innovation and a global payments player like Ripple supporting regulated institutional settlement. It shows that jurisdictions positioning themselves early can become hubs for both sides of a digital money ecosystem. And Ripple is also not limiting itself to the Middle East. In November, Ripple strengthened its presence in Asia by securing a major payment institution license in Singapore. That positions Ripple as a global infrastructure provider connecting multiple regulatory environments. And it also signals that jurisdictions like Singapore are competing to define their place in the future digital money landscape. And speaking of Singapore, that leads perfectly to Tamara, because Singapore has not only embraced Ripple through its licensing regime, but it also is shaping its own public-private innovation agenda through further experiments and regulatory advances.
The Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, has announced plans to trial tokenized MAS bills next year. And alongside that, it's preparing new laws to regulate stablecoins. According to MAS Managing Director, while tokenization has lifted off the ground, asset-backed tokens have not yet achieved escape velocity. The forthcoming regulatory regime will emphasize solid reverse backing and reliable redemption mechanisms, addressing one of the biggest challenges for stablecoins worldwide. In parallel, MAS is also backing trials under the Bloom Initiative, exploring tokenized bank liabilities and regulated stablecoins for settlement. Notably, three major Singapore banks, DBS Bank, OCBC Bank and UOB have recently completed interbank overnight lending transactions using a live wholesale central bank digital currency, CBDC. What does this mean? Singapore is not just talking about digital money. It's actively building the infrastructure. By combining tokenized bills, stablecoin regulation, and CBDC trials, MAS aims to create a scalable, secure, tokenized financial ecosystem. For stablecoin and CBDC watchers, this is a strong signal. Digital cash is evolving, and fast. The Central Bank of Brazil has announced it's shutting down the Drex blockchain platform, a major twist in one of the world's most closely watched digital currency pilots. The shutting down marks the end of Drex's initial phases. Officials point to high operating costs, privacy concerns, and the difficulty of scaling the system to the level needed for national payments. But here's the interesting bit. This isn't the end of Drex. It's a strategic pivot. Instead of building a retail-facing digital real, the project will refocus on tokenization and using digital assets as collateral in Brazil's financial markets. And the tech going forward? Completely technology neutral. Blockchain may or may not return. This move opens a vacuum, one many expected will be quickly filled by private stablecoins. With Drex stepping back from retail use cases, stablecoin issuers suddenly have a clear runway to offer real-denominated digital money for payments, remittances, and tokenized assets. So what does this mean? Brazil isn't abandoning digital money. It's recalibrating. But the door is now wide open for the private sector to shape the future of digital reais.
That wraps up this month in digital money. As always, we can see that digital money continues to be shaped simultaneously by policy, infrastructure, and innovation. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for next month's episode, the last one for the year. See you next time.